I'd like to have us turn in our Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. We're going to be looking at spiritual warfare in the life of the believer. There's some principles that we're able to extract from 2 Chronicles chapter 32 in the life and kingship of Hezekiah, king of Judah. This passage of 2 Chronicles chapter 32 can offer us encouragement in the midst of our anxiety. Oftentimes we'll find ourselves in spiritual warfare and anxiety. Are you facing trials and testings that very easily could produce fear and anxiety, apprehension, uncertainty in your life? We're going to look at the experience of King Hezekiah as the Assyrians invaded their land. We're going to be looking at five observations regarding spiritual warfare. The first one that we're going to look at is found in verse 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. First of all, we're going to look at the threat. There's a threat. You know, Satan loves to intimidate. Satan wants to cause us to think that everything is out of control. The truth of the matter is, what we need to do is only believe. Only believe. Satan, he threatens us and causes us to disbelieve. Notice verse 1. Let's take a look at the threat. We're going to note in our message that Sennacherib is a picture or an illustration of the devil and the attacks that he seeks to utilize in our lives. Verse 1, the threat. After these things, after what things? Great revival, the working of God among his people and among those leaders, including Hezekiah. Remember, in verses 20 and 21 of the preceding chapter, Hezekiah wrought that which was good, verse 29, and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all of his heart, and he prospered. Perhaps God's word has spoken to you in an area, and you've made some things right with God. And you've made some commitments before the Lord. Be assured, the devil is going to be following up, and he's going to seek to attack those areas that you've sought to shore up by his grace. It says, after these things, after Hezekiah made these commitments and made the reforms among the people and the house of the Lord, it says, here comes Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. And he entered into Judah, and he encamped against the fenced cities. You've built up some fences in your life, and you've built up some boundaries, and you've sought to have God direct in your life, and those fences and those landmarks have been set based upon the word of God. The old devil is going to come. And notice, he thought to win them for himself. That is exactly picturing the devil's work. He wants to get back at the Lord by attacking you. And he wants to win you for himself. He's a thief. He's a destroyer. He's a liar. He seeks to kill and to destroy. Sennacherib was invading Judah. His army was massive and intimidating, just like the trial that you're facing in your life. It's massive. It's intimidating. It's overwhelming. If you depend upon the arm of the flesh and your own wisdom, You're over your head. That's exactly where Hezekiah was. This army had a history of successful invasions. We're going to note that Sennacherib threw some of those previous successes in Hezekiah's face to further intimidate him as we go further in this particular passage. But we need to realize what 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 says. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Just like Sennacherib, he wanted to win them for himself. 2 Corinthians 2:11 reminds us that Satan can take advantage of us, and we ought not to be ignorant of his devices. So we have the threat in verse 1. But I want you to notice some things in verses 2 through 6. Hezekiah did a few things to overcome the inroads and the attack of the enemy. We've seen the threat, but now we're going to look at the tactics. But they're not tactics of the devil. They are tactics of a child of God that is depending upon the Lord. Hezekiah responded to the threat in verses 2 through 6. Let's take a look at what he did. When Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, and that's exactly what the devil is. He's purposed to fight against us. He's fought against God's people for thousands of years. He took counsel with his princes. You know, we need one another. We need to lock arms as God's people and pray for one another and encourage one another. We need to network together as God's people and uphold one another in prayer. Not a one of us can do it on our own. Too often pride gets in the way. Well, I'm not going to share my need. And yet God wants us to lock arms together. He took counsel with his princes and his mighty men, and he did something about it. It's interesting. Hezekiah, king of Judah, and his associates began to cut off all the water supply so that the Assyrians could not have access to water while they were invading their territory. That tells us that we need to be very careful about allowing areas of our lives to be unfenced and available to the enemy. Are the areas of our lives that we are allowing satanic inroads? Are we making provision for the devil? Here they built up the military. They made shields and weapons, and they got prepared as much as humanly possible. Notice it goes on to say here, there was gathered many people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? Let's make it hard on the devil. Let's make it hard on the enemy. Let's shore up those areas. You know, many people have been putting sandbags and caulking and doing all types of waterproofing in their home to prevent the inroads of those things that can be damaging to their precious possessions. How much should we, as believers, take preparation and make preparation? It says here, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? Let's make it hard for them. He strengthened himself, built up the wall that was broken, raised it up to the towers, and another wall outside. He made double walls. You see, we as believers need to learn that we have a responsibility in our own efforts to shore up our Christian lives. We can't just get it on Sunday morning or Sunday evening or Wednesday night. We need to take up the spade and the trowel and work and prepare and shore up those areas of our lives. Shields, darts in abundance. Set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city. And notice, he spake comfortably to them, saying, be strong, courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed, for the king of Assyria, nor for all of the multitudes that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. You know, this is the place of leadership. This is the place where those in places of authority have an opportunity to minister to others that are weak and wavering. Dad, as the spiritual leader of your home, it's your responsibility to speak comfortably and to give guidance and spiritual direction to your family, to arm them with the truth of God's word and the presence of the Lord. Hezekiah determined to recover the independence of the nation of Judah. And because he sought to be independent of the Assyrian yoke, the old devil came after him. Sennacherib retaliated. Hezekiah fortified the city. He trusted in God, and the Lord delivered him, and the Lord was glorified. You know, we need to take a stand against those things that are catering to the flesh and allowing Satan to take advantage of us. Whether it's the presence of pornography, wrong friends, wrong habits, these need to be replaced with wholesome efforts. There needs to be a joining together of arms with one another. And notice, we have the threat, we have the tactics, where Hezekiah begins to strengthen and fortify his defenses. But then notice the truth in verses 7 and 8. He gives truth to his people. He says, there are more with us than with him. With him is the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God. When you're intimidated, when you're fearful, let the voice of truth be heard. Listen to the voice of truth. Don't listen to the voice of the lies of the devil. The arm of the flesh is against us, Hezekiah said, and he comforted his people with the fact that the Lord our God is with us to help us and fight our battles. Isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord is there to protect us and to fight for us? And notice, the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. That's what the truth always does. It gives rest and peace. When you're facing someone, ministering to someone in the hospital, give them the truth of God's word. Read the word of God to them. Encourage them. Let them hear God's word. It'll be a blessing to them as well. He taught them to trust the Lord. It's important. The Lord shall deliver. Look at verse 11. Doth not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourselves to die by famine and by thirst, saying, the Lord our God shall deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria? You see, Hezekiah was teaching them to trust the Lord, but the old Sennacherib picture of the devil was challenging them not to trust in the Lord. But he gave them the word of God. We've seen the threat, the tactics, and the truth. Now let's look at verses 9 through 15, and let's look at the taunting. The old devil comes taunting. The old devil isn't through yet. He doesn't give up very easily. Verse 9, after this did Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, send his servants to Jerusalem. But he himself laid siege against Lachish and all his power with him unto Hezekiah, the king of Judah, and unto all Judah that were at Jerusalem, saying, notice the lie. This is the taunting now. He uses fear tricks. He wants to discredit Hezekiah, inflict fear on the part of the people. Thus saith Sennacherib, king of Assyria, whereon do ye trust that ye abide in the siege in Jerusalem? Doth not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourselves to die by famine and thirst? He's trying to inflict fear. Now, what happens when you're faced with a trial and testing? In the middle of the night, in the darkness of the night, your mind begins going step by step over the worst of things that can possibly happen to you. And you begin worrying and fretting, and you can even have night terrors and all types of experiences through what is going on. And that's the voice of Satan and the weakness of the flesh. He says, you're going to die by famine and thirst. And here he's saying, the Lord is with you. Hath not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall worship before one altar and burn incense upon it? Know ye not what I and my fathers have done unto all the people of other lands? You know what he's saying? Look how many countries I've conquered, and you're going to be just like them. Were the gods of the nations of those lands able to deliver their lands out of my hands? So you see, he's intimidating. He continues, who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed, that could deliver his people out of my hand, that your God should be able to deliver you out of my hand? Now therefore, let not Hezekiah deceive you. In other words, God's promises aren't true. Hezekiah's just deceiving you. You know, the old devil always tries to make black white and white black. And you know, it's amazing how many times the messengers of the devil always cause you to doubt which side is up, because they want to cause you to be confused as to the spiritual realities. Don't let them deceive you, that old Sennacherib said, nor persuade you on this matter, neither yet believe him. For no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of my hand. Boy, he's got a lot of pride, doesn't he? And out of the hand of my fathers, how much less shall your God deliver you out of mine hand? Here's the question. Are you going to fall prey to the lies of the devil, or are you going to listen to the voice of truth? Every one of us have to make a decision. You know, if we're in the Word of God the way we should be, we're going to be able to identify the voice of the devil from the voice of truth. God will always affirm His Word and His truth. The devil will always cause to discredit and cause us to doubt. His taunting is seen in verses 9 through 15. But now, let's take a look at the triumph. The triumph. Number 5, the triumph. Verse 20 through 25. King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, what did they do? They prayed and they cried out to God, who was their real source of victory. God sent an angel and destroyed all of the Assyrian warriors. God saved Judah and guided them. Notice the Word of God says in verse 20, for this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amoz prayed and cried to heaven. Sometimes the Lord places us in a position like that so that we realize that we can't do anything but look up. Prayed and cried to heaven, and the Lord sent a messenger, an angel, which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was come into the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels slew him there with the sword, 2 of his sons. So you see here, in spiritual victory, we have a twofold defense. Hezekiah did everything he could to fortify himself. All of us have read about that 1,700-foot tunnel, Hezekiah's tunnel that cut through solid rock below Jerusalem. Oftentimes it reached a depth of 60 feet below the ground as he redirected the waters to starve out the energy and the access to the water. It was a tremendous engineering marvel. And back in 1838, they discovered Hezekiah's tunnel, that very tunnel that he built to redirect the waters flowing through. An architectural marvel. It wasn't really cleared up until 1901. But what happened was that tunnel had just been filled with debris during the destruction of Jerusalem. But they cleaned it up, and Hezekiah's tunnel can still be seen today. So you have the partnership of our responsibility plus the working of the Lord. Hezekiah did what he needed to do, moral responsibility. But it was the angel of the Lord, and we see this in this passage of Scripture, the Lord did his part as well. God saved Judah. So I think this is an excellent passage of Scripture for us to see how God can work in our lives. There's a good biblical principle of moral responsibility and divine sovereignty working together. God blesses, God delivers when we walk in obedience to Him. Undoubtedly, some of you have listened to the threat even today. There's been a threat that has come your way. Well, we have a responsibility. We perhaps need to dig those tunnels. We need to set up the captains. We need to set accountability partners. Cry unto the Lord. Make provision. That's our part. But the triumph comes when the Lord delivers and we give the glory to Him. And He is a God who delivers. Right does prevail. Evil will fail. But we must prepare. We must call upon God to help us when the odds seem overwhelming. God will honor and help those who are on the cause that is right and just. You know, by application, when trials and testings come, isn't it a temptation just to pull the covers over our heads? But you know, sometimes we got to get out and do things. You know, if you lose your job, you get out there and look for another one. You shake the bushes. You don't pull the blankets over your head. Hezekiah did everything he could, using the principles of God's Word. But then he gave it to God, and that made all the difference in the world. We need to look to Him in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this example of divine deliverance. And Father, thank You that the One that is with us is greater than is the One that is with Sennacherib. And in 1 John chapter 4, we are reminded, greater is the One that is in us than he that is in the world. Lord, we thank You for this example of Your deliverance. And I pray for each and every person listening to this message that may be facing insurmountable odds, trials, and testings. Help us to look to You, to trust You, and Lord, to walk by the eye of faith, looking to You and Your direction. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.